Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. My friends, this is God's word, and it is our authority. It is the foundation upon which our lives, when they're lived at best, they lived according to this book. And very often when our lives fall apart, it's because they're not paying attention to this book. This is God's word, and in honor of it, I invite you to stand to listen to the words of Jesus. St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is God's word for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So the story is told of a wife who went in on Sunday morning to wake up her husband. She went in and she shook him. And she said, "It's time to get up. Sunday morning, we got to go to church." And he just grunted. And so she pushed him again and said, "Get up, get up. It's time to get up. It's time to go to church today." And he turned and he looked at her and he said, "I'm not going to church today. And I'm going to give you two reasons why. One, I don't like anybody in that church. And number two, nobody in that church likes me." And she put her hands on her hip and she said, "You are going to church today, and I'll give you two reasons why. Number one, you're 47 years old. And number two, you're the pastor of that church." And with that, he got up. There are certain things pastors don't want to get up and do. And perhaps most of all, they don't want to get up and do fundraising. People don't like to hear me try and do that. And I'm not going to do that. But for the next few Sundays, we're going to focus on stewardship. You say, "Well, preacher, it's the same thing, right? Stewardship, fundraising, just a different word. It's the same thing." And my answer to that is no. No, it's not. Fundraising is about saving, is about raising money. Stewardship's about God raising children. Fundraising is about trying to get people to ante up. Stewardship is about recognizing that my whole life belongs to God, not just my resources. Stewardship is about responding to God and not to guilt. It's about responding to God and not to pressure. I don't know how it hits you, but I don't like it when I'm pressured. I don't like it when I'm given a sales pitch. It just doesn't work for me. A story is told of two men who were out on a desert island. And one of them was happy and cheerful, and the other one was sad and depressed. And the second man spoke up first, and he said, "How can you be so happy? We're stranded here on this godforsaken desert island. There's no food. We don't have shelter. We're going to perish in this place." "Oh, don't worry about it," said the first man. "We're going to be just fine. My church just began the stewardship campaign, and I promise you the finance committee is going to find me." And that's the stereotype of churches and money. That's exactly what people think of when they think of churches and stewardship. They're out to get your money. They're out to track you down. They're going to pressure you to ante up. And I suppose the reason people think of the church that way is because, well, that's how we've done it before. In fact, that's the way it's been done in lots of places. You're guilted into giving. But that's not how it ought to be, and that's not how it's going to be here. We're not going to do that. Giving should not be something you're pressured to do. It ought not be something that you're guilted into. I've discovered that one of the things that seems to hang people up about giving is they feel that the more they give, the more they diminish their own chances for happiness. If I give, I'm going to have to give up something I enjoy. If I give, I have to lose in order to give. I've been reading for the last month or two what Jesus had to say about giving, and it turns out he had a lot to say. And I've made this discovery. Most of the time when Jesus talks about giving, he talks about the benefit it is to you to be a generous person. Most always, in fact, when Jesus talks about giving and being generous, he talks about it in the context of it being a benefit to you, making your life better. In other words, when you give, you don't lose, you win. When you give, it's not about sacrificing, it's about acquiring something that's far more valuable than money. How many of us in here realize there are certain things more valuable than money? And at some point, we'll come face to face with those kinds of reality. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the word blessed literally means happy. In other words, you and I are happier when we're generous. And when we give, we receive far more than we could ever give. It's in your best interest, it's in my best interest to learn to be a giving person. And as a byproduct of that, it helps a lot of people. It helps a lot of people in the church. It helps a lot of people in our community locally. It helps a lot of people in the world. So when Jesus talks about giving, he does so in terms of how it impacts you. So this morning, for just a few minutes, I want to suggest to you some reasons giving and being generous works a miracle inside you. When you're a giving person. Here's the first thing I want you to hear this morning. When you're a giving person, you break the hold of selfishness. You see, inside every human being, there's something of a tug of war going on. It's a tug of war between selfishness and generosity. You and I have a selfish instinct. But we also have a generous instinct, and the one we nurture is the one that will grow. We have these two basic instincts inside us, and the one that we pay the most attention to, the one we nurture. So we have to intentionally develop an instinct of generosity because, now listen carefully, people are not born generous. Generosity is something that you learn, it's taught to you, somehow you come to receive that over time. Most of us, in fact, are born with a tendency towards selfishness. But the one you nurture is going to grow. It's what sociologists called the scarcity mentality. It's the idea that there's not enough, so I have to keep holding on to things, and I have to clutch things. You know anybody that hoards things? Oh, don't think of it like that. The more we clutch, the scarcity mentality is about not letting go of things. And the best illustration I can give you of that today is from out of my own life. Because I struggle with the scarcity mentality. And one place where it rears its ugly head is when I go to Golden Corral to eat. And just hear me, okay? This is a confession. Anybody who even casually knows me, that I consider Golden Corral to be buffet heaven. It's got to be. Heaven's got to have it like this. You see, I'm a country boy when it comes to eating. And I love their vegetables, and I love their collard greens and fried okra and potatoes and corn and green beans and chicken and banana pudding and chocolate pie. You getting hungry yet? I just love that stuff, folks. But here's the problem. If I get down to Golden Corral and if I get in line behind 2, 3, 4 big burly construction workers, I get a panic going on inside me. It doesn't make any sense. My head tells me there's no reason to panic. Everything's going to be fine, but I'm afraid. I see those guys piling the fried okra on their plate, and I'm thinking, there's not going to be any for me. Now, I know better than that. I know that they've got plenty of fried okra. It just is something I struggle with. I'm going to miss out. Listen. We have to watch the instinct carefully towards selfishness, because it will hurt us in the long run. It will hurt you. It will hurt me. So let's begin today by saying that our lives are better when we make that choice. Because again, there is a tug of war that goes on inside people. We have to simply overcome the tendency towards selfishness and its hold on our lives. Here's the second thing I want you to hear today. When you and I are generous, giving enables you to be part of something great. In case you haven't noticed, it's a scary world we're living in. It's a tough world. There was a report that came out a few years ago that said over 100,000 kids take weapons to school every day in America. Over 100,000 kids take weapons to school every day. And when I watch the news and I hear about the difficulties in our nation and in our communities, I, for one, get discouraged. And sometimes I think, what is happening to us? What on earth is happening? So it seems to me that we need to put our resources in places that are helping turn things around for the better. Places that are making a positive difference, piece by piece, person by person, time after time. I wish I had time this morning to share with you, in just my short time here, all the ways I've seen that this church is impacting this community. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being taught and proclaimed in this place and in places all over the community and out into this world because of generosity. Children and adults in this community eat. They have something to eat because you're generous with your time. We are raising up children and youth to have values and faith because of generosity. Listen, if you want to change the future, if you want to see things better in the future, we got to pay attention to the kids now. We got to pay attention to the youth now. And we've got to unashamedly talk about values and foundations, because if we wait for assuming they're going to get it out there, do you really think they're going to learn to have values out there? No, we want to be part, this church is part of raising up kids and changing our culture because of generosity. That means that you and I are stakeholders in our future. And my observation has been this. You can moan and groan and complain and gripe. You can be part of the problem, but you also can be part of the solution. And the reality is, for you and for me, for all the grown-ups in the room, we need to remember that there's a future beyond us. And it just seems to me that that's a future worth investing in through this place. You and I are stakeholders, so we have to watch the selfishness issue with us. Here's the third thing. Giving enables you to live a disciplined life. This is part of what Kylie was talking about a moment ago. One of the things we admire the most is discipline. I think that's a major reason why athletes are held in such high esteem, because they have to discipline themselves. They have to go through this rigorous process of disciplining their bodies. One of my favorite movies in the whole world, I don't know if you've seen it, maybe you have seen it. One of my favorite movies is an old movie, it's called Rudy. Has everybody ever seen Rudy? Yeah. If you've seen Rudy, you know that it's the true story, an inspiring story, about a young man who wanted to be who was a Notre Dame football fan. He went out for the football team and he was a walk-on. He spent 2 years on the prep squad, never getting to put on a uniform or play in the game. And then in his senior season, in the last game, the last couple of minutes, he had been allowed to dress out and they let him go in and play. It's a great story. And there's a line in that movie where one of the actors says to Rudy, "Son, you're 5 foot nothing, and you weigh 100 nothing, but you got more heart than anybody I know." We admire that in people, don't we? I tell you a secret. At the end of the day, it's the people who discipline themselves and prepare themselves and work hard and work hard and work hard. They are the ones ultimately in the long run who benefit. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you're lazy, it's not going to do you any good. I want to challenge you this morning as we kick this whole idea of stewardship off. I want to challenge you toward a vision. I want to challenge you to be the kind of person you admire. Move toward becoming the kind of person you admire. Giving breaks a hold of selfishness in us, and it enables us to be part of something great. You don't have to spend but about 10 minutes here in this place to realize there's great stuff going on all over the place here. But giving also enables you to live a disciplined life. Let me close with this. And I didn't put this line in my message until about 8:45 this morning. I have observed that when it comes to the issue of generosity, there are basically two kinds of people. There are those who use people and love money, and there are those who love people and use money. That's it. And the last thing on earth I want to do is prick you too hard on this. But I do want to ask you, which way do you tend toward? Which way? I think this book teaches us that when everything is said and done, it's going to be more about using money and loving people. And I invite you then in that spirit into the stewardship process for just the next few weeks. That's all, just the next few weeks. But we need to talk about this. We need to be careful about selfishness. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this moment. We have been reminded in this moment that we have a choice. We have a choice, O God, to take our life in a direction toward generosity or in a direction toward selfishness. And the truth is, dear God, the one we nurture is the one that's going to grow. So plant in us now, O God, the seed to begin thinking about this. Help us, Lord, help us. Become the person we admire, but even more than that, to become the person who is pleasing in your sight. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and all of his people said, Amen.